It is an honor to be up here, be in front of all of you today. It's kind of weird to think that I think it's 8 years and a couple of months since I've last been up here. It's been a couple of days, but it's been a privilege and an honor to join this church and get to know many of you. So if you would, bow with me for a word of prayer so we can start the sermon. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the beautiful weather you've given us, the abundance of rain. God, I ask that you just be with me today, Lord. Help my words be yours and just use me as a vessel. And in your name we pray. Amen. So preacher has asked me multiple times this week to do a PowerPoint. And this is my 109th sermon that I've done. And this is the first time I've ever done a PowerPoint, so there's probably going to be a few hiccups, but I think the girls in the back got it pretty well. So my sermon title today is Noah's Response to Faith, which is obedience. And when speaking of obedience, how many of you have ever went on a diet? I'm going to be the first person to raise my hand. You have to be obedient to follow that diet, correct? Well, when I was living in Russell, Kansas, had been working there quite a bit, and decided my doctor, who said that I apparently had retained water and I needed to lose some weight, is also my brother. He said, you got to be obedient to this diet, and you got to do this, and you got to do that. So I thought, you know what? Correct. No more going past the bakery every morning when I went up to the co-op that I was a manager of at the time. But then I got to thinking one morning, you know, God, if you really want me to be obedient, if you really want me to follow this diet, when I drive past the bakery, which I technically had to drive past every day, there's not going to be a parking spot open in front of the bakery. And if there's no parking spot, then I'm going to be obedient and go to work. And I'm proud to sit up here and tell you that after the eighth time around the block, one opened up. So maybe we need to be a little more obedient than that. But when you see delicious, gooey things of caramel dripping off those sticky buns, it's kind of hard not to stop. So it is great to be back worshiping with you guys today. I wanted to dive into Noah and his response to faith and talk about obedience. Noah is a story of cleansing and renewing. It's a great depiction of God's redemption for humanity. God brings cleansing to the brokenness to bring us into a holy relationship with Him. And three, Noah's story is a story of faith, of obedience, and of facing fear. So the first part of Noah's story looks at the righteousness of Noah. God's call to right living. It comes with walking in a close relationship with Him. Then comes faith, bringing us to the impossible and seeing God move. Knowing that it's in His timing, not ours, but in His timing, that we just need to take it a day at a time and to trust God. And that brings us to today. And today we look at what our faith begins to produce, which allows us to experience more of God, and that is obedience. Today you're going to hear me reminisce for a moment. When I moved to Wichita, Kansas, I taught kindergarten, I taught special ed, I coached at a 6A school. You know, your first couple days of teacher training in the beginning was learning gang signs and learning other things that could happen in your classrooms, which was a whole different ballgame for me coming from Smith Center, Kansas. So I went to a church one Sunday morning. This church I went to was pastored by Aaron Wallace. It was a church plant. Went there to hear a local Christian band sing. As the band goes, some of the guys, I guess, that I knew were singing. I walked into the church. This guy comes up to me. Aaron actually later on married Tara and I, did our wedding. He comes up to me and says, "Hey, I'm Pastor Aaron." And I said, "Well, hey, I'm Eric." And he said, "I got to go preach. Nice to meet you." And walked off. Not another word. It's the first time I've ever seen the guy in my life. I was the 31st person, the last person to walk in church that day. 31 people in a church plant. So afterwards, I was waiting for a buddy to get done. This guy that I don't even know, Aaron Wallace, comes up to me, starts poking me in the chest. Said, "My wife and I prayed today. We've been praying for a long time. But we felt today was the day that God was going to send somebody to partner with me in ministry. That would become the first youth pastor of our church. That would come along beside me." And at the time, allegedly, I may or may not have slightly pushed back just a pinch. And allegedly, he may or may not have fallen over a chair. I had no clue who this guy was. It was poking me in the chest. And I said, "Man, you don't even know me." And I was very clearly not in a place spiritually that I should have been. I go to walk out. He follows me out to the parking lot. And he said, "Hey, I'm going to call you tomorrow morning." Hadn't given him my number. Had never talked to him before. And I turned around and I said, "Hey, Pastor, you know, the sad thing is in churches today, there's a lot of people that will say, 'Hey, I'm going to call you.' And then they see you a week or two later and say, 'Oh, I got busy. I forgot to. Oh, I didn't do this. I didn't do that.'" I got my car, drove home. Well, I was coaching at a 6A school at the time as well, Wichita South. Coach Johnson called me up and said, "Hey, I'm covering the weight room tomorrow morning. You don't got to be up there at 6. Don't worry about it. Just take the morning off." And I thought, "Hey, that's awesome." 5:45 comes, my phone starts ringing. And I just groan, thinking, "Man, he forgot his keys. I got to go back up to the weight room." I said, "Hello? Eric, this is Pastor Aaron." And I shot out of bed like a rocket and thought, first of all, how'd he get my number? Second of all, why is this guy calling me? And he said, "Hey, do you know where the McDonald's is at Pawnee and 31st? And I said, "Yeah." And I said, "Wait, why are you calling me?" And he said, "Meet me there in 15 minutes and hung up. Keep in mind, I've not had more than a minute conversation with this guy. So I thought, I'm honking mad that I got woke up. And I got to think, you know, that takes a lot of guts to do that. So I ended up meeting him up there. And that man sat in front of me and said, "I know this is a church plant. I know you feel you don't want to be involved." And he wrote out a list of 7 things that he said, "This is my vision that I feel God has given me for this church. And I'm going to be obedient and follow it to a T. I want you to be a part of this." So after talking to me, he wrote the list down that I still have the list in my office today. And that was 2007. Still have the list. And I thought, you know what, I'll give you a chance, but I'm only going to be here a month. I'm not interested in being a part of a church plant. The first thing on that list, I was the first youth pastor of the church. Then ended up being correct. Through all those 7 things, 3 years, almost to the day that he had that conversation with me, that church was at 300 members. We had been given ground, 25 acres to build a church on. And it was crazy to me, and it's always spoke deep to my heart, that church that only had 30 people was obedient. That pastor was obedient. And they followed God's word, and they followed what God called them to do. And today, I think they have 5 services now every Sunday, and it is just overflowing. And it's pretty cool to see a part of that, that there is only 30 people that first Sunday, but the faith of a few went a long ways. You see, faith only takes us so far. Without action, that church would still be a group of 30 people believing God wants us out here but never acting on it. Obedience is the action of our faith. Church, there's a clear distinction in those who walk in faith through obedience and those who don't. It's one thing to see it. It's another thing to walk in faith. Amen? Some of us have the faith, but what we lack is the obedience to follow through. And through obedience through that church, lives changed, baptisms. And when the baptism started, it was in a little cattle tank that we bought at the local Urshlands. And it's crazy to see how much that has changed. So the key statement I want to start with today is obedience is a product of our faith. And they really work hand in hand together. If you have your Bibles today, Go ahead and turn to Genesis 6, 18 through 22. Genesis 6, 18 through 22, followed by chapter 7, verses 1 through 5. Starting in Genesis 6, verse 18, where it says this, "But I will establish you, my covenant with you. So enter the boat, you and your wife and your sons and their wives." Verse 19, "Bring a pair of every kind of animal, a male and a female, into the boat with you, to keep them alive during the flood. Pairs of every kind of bird, of every kind of animal, and every kind of small animal that scurries along the ground will come to you to be kept alive." Verse 21, "And be sure to take on board enough food for you, for your family, and for all the animals." Verse 22, "So Noah did everything exactly as God had commanded him." Jumping to chapter 7, verse 1. "When everything was ready, the Lord said to Noah, 'Go into the boat with all your family. For among all the people of the earth, I can see that you alone are righteous. Take with you 7 pairs, male and female, of each animal I have approved for eating and for sacrifice. And take 1 pair of each of the others." Verse 3. "Also take 7 pairs of every kind of bird. There must be a male and a female in each pair to ensure that all life will survive on the earth after the flood. 7 days from now, I will make the rains pour down on the earth, and it will rain for 40 days and for 40 nights, until I have wiped from the earth all the living things I have created." Verse 5, "So Noah did everything as the Lord had commanded him." And this is key. Look at chapter 6, verses 22, chapter 7, verses 5. Noah did everything exactly as God had commanded him. And hopefully we are seeing this. What good is faith if we have no response to it? Obedience is our response to faith, and it makes it real, and it makes it authentic. Noah could have had faith in God, but had he not been obedient, he would have been wiped out with the rest of the world. But before we begin, let's set the stage for a minute and talk about the problem. And that is, obedience does not come natural. Why? Well, let's be honest for a minute. We have to work at obedience. Has anyone ever raised a perfect kid who did everything completely right? That's good, because if you would have raised your hand, that means you raised Jesus and he's already come. We have to learn obedience. There's something within us that causes us innately to walk away at times from it. That child moment where you say, "Don't do it." You see it in their little eyes. You see it in their heart, a crossroad. I can listen and I can obey, or I can grab the candy and shove it in my mouth before they get to me. The moment you try and speak to the heart, if you touch that, I'll spank you. They look at it knowing it's a 50-50 chance if they go for the candy, they might get it. Have you ever seen experiments where they put a kid in a room with a plate of cookies and they say, "Don't touch them until we get back"? But yet what the child doesn't understand is that there's a camera in the room. And it's hard for the kids not to touch them. Some smell them, some might touch them, some might taste them. So the problem is disobedience. But why is disobedience so hard or so easy and obedience is so hard? We'll look back at Genesis 6, 5, where it says this, "The Lord observed the extent of human wickedness on the earth, and he saw that everything they thought or imagined was consistently and totally evil." So we saw that sin was our downfall. And here's the thing. If obedience is a product of our faith, then disobedience is a product of sin. And that's why the world was about to be wiped out in Noah's time. The thing is, we are born in sin. That is the reality of life. This is why no one is born perfect, and no one is perfect except for Jesus. Which is why he had to come for us to have life. We have to come to a place of accepting and having faith in Christ. It's a choice we make when we come to the realization we can't do this on our own. We need a Savior in our life. And we can see this play all throughout Scripture. Men and women in sin walking in obedience and finding Christ, turning to Him, turning to obedience in Him, it's a struggle. Peter had a denial 3 times. He wasn't perfect. But here's the thing, don't lose heart. I wanted to mention that there because I think many of us in here have already set ourselves up for failure. And I hope what we see is that walking in obedience to God, yes, can be difficult at times. It's not easy. And although we may mess up from time to time, His love and God's mercy gives us those second chances. Amen? It doesn't mean we take advantage of that and just count it off as, well, I'm naturally bent towards disobedience, so that's just the way it's going to be. Because the reality is, when we are found in Christ, we are a new creation. Amen. The old is gone, the new has come, and Christ lives in us. But hopefully what it does allow is for us not to wallow in our self-despair, but rather rise up in pursuit of His presence that brings us to obedience. So let's look at obedience in Noah's story. Obedience for Noah was acting on what he believed. As we said earlier, obedience to God demonstrates our faith, manifestation of our faith, which is a manifestation of our faith. I just learned to talk yesterday, so my words kind of scramble over each other. Noah believed in God, so when God spoke, even something crazy, Noah followed. Have you ever thought about Noah's story? If God were to come to you today and say, build an ark, build these animals, and was specific on how everything was built, what would your response be? Would you be able to be obedient in your faith and follow? God had told Noah to enter the boat, you and your family, and a pair of every kind of animal. And hopefully what we've come to see here is that Noah loved and Noah trusted God. You didn't see Noah testing God. He wasn't about to test Him in this moment. Is it really going to flood? What if we don't get in the boat? Then what's going to happen? Noah's obedience flowed from the fact that he truly believed 100%. Not 90, not 80, not 99.9%, but he truly believed that God keeps His promises. For us to fully understand this obedience of Noah, we have to go back to Noah walked closely in fellowship with the Lord. Noah loved God. His obedience flowed from that love. Our motivation for obedience is love. John 14:15 says this, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. Church, when we are in that kind of relationship with God, that He is either faithful or He isn't, we have to believe one or the other, then it truly allows us to begin to walk in obedience despite what it is that we are walking in. You've heard before that the enemy wants to skew our image of God. Sometimes, somehow, it makes us question just for a moment if God is truly there. Have you ever been there? Have you ever been in that situation? Because if for a moment when tragedy happens, when we lose someone, when something doesn't go our way that we've truly been praying for, if for a moment he can rock our faith and keep us living in fear, keep us living in frustration, questioning God, living in anger, unforgiveness, pride, whatever the situation may be, then the devil knows he can try and keep us from walking in obedience to God's calling. But look at Hebrews 5:7-8, where it says this. While Jesus was here on earth, he offered prayers and pleadings with a loud cry and tears to the one who could rescue him from death. And God heard his prayer because of his deep reverence for God. Verse 8 says, even though Jesus was God's son, he learned obedience from the things he suffered. Even in those moments of not understanding why, God is giving us an opportunity to learn obedience. And I want to be clear, and I want to say this again. Obedience is a product of our faith. What's your obedience like? It can tell you a lot about where you are in your faith in Christ. 1 John 2:3-6 says this, and we can be sure that we know him if we obey his commandments. If someone claims, I know God, but doesn't obey God's commandments, that person is a liar and is not living in the truth. But those who obey God's word truly show how completely they love him. That is how we know we are living in him. Those who say they live in God should live their lives as Jesus did. If obedience is acting on what we believe, then godly obedience is also complete follow-through. We've talked about this before, and I want to revisit it. The idea of obedience versus partial obedience. Are you all in, or are you partially in? I've prayed this a lot. Some of you may have. I don't know. Hey, God, I need your help. I need this. I need this. I need that. Whatever the case is, I give it all to you, though. But how many of us truly give 100%? Because I know if you're like me, you want to give God 90%, but we got to be in control for that little 10%. We have to feel like we are in control. The Bible has a lot to say about things that are halfway. Take, for instance, the famous revelation scripture of Luke. Are you hot or cold? If you are in the middle, spit it out. Obedience kind of fits in the same mold. Look at our scripture where it says in 22, Noah did exactly everything that God had commanded him. This wasn't a moment for Noah to get cocky. Listen, God, I like your design. I like the boat design, but I'm going to make a few changes. I'm going to make a few modifications. It was 100% complete obedience. He was given instructions exactly how to build the boat and how to load animals in pairs. Think about it. You ever wondered why God didn't create a boat and Noah would just find it? He created the mountains. God created the sky and the sun. A boat's probably next to nothing for God, don't you think? Why trust that Noah would follow through? Why not just make sure God's covenant would go on because he made the boat? Look at God's love and trust for his creation. You can only imagine that God rejoices and finds so much joy when he can put trust in his creation to follow through. We're pretty good in life, aren't we, church, at taking shortcuts? Yet I think lines have been drawn that obedience is only obedience when it is fully followed through. Look back at Genesis to the start of it, even back to Cain and Abel. Bringing God our best intentionally. Versus bringing God whatever we can find. Intentionally or not. See it with Saul? Offering God what we think is right versus what God asked of us. Doing something halfway is not obedience. It can be easy to justify our acts of obedience, even though we didn't fully follow through. Partial obedience is an obedience, though, church. There are consequences to it. This obedience for Noah was a matter of life or death. God's discipline may have been coming on the world. But here's the thing some people forget. So was God's love. Noah's obedience was key. Part of the reason we try in our lives to maybe cut a corner, obedience isn't always easy, is it? Obedience can be pretty difficult. There are times when walking in obedience is going to be difficult, a very difficult task. We want to give up and we want to move on. But in that moment when you want to give up and go on, or and move on, if we stay the course, I promise you, God will move. Might not be right away, but God will move. I want to leave you with a challenge today. I'm going to ask you to take a step of faith and walk in it this week. It's one thing to talk about it. It's another thing to walk in it. It's one thing to see it, but walk in it. Some of us have the faith, but what we lack is the disobedience to follow through. Obedience is faith that has come to life. I was talking to a young man earlier this week. And I was talking to him about God and his life spiritually. And I said, how are you doing? How are you doing with your reading of the Bible? He said, I'm pretty busy. I've got kids and I've got ball games and I've got this and I've got that. And I said, oh, so you're driving? Yeah, I have to drive every day. Well, most of us have smartphones. Unless you're my father-in-law who still has a flip phone, and I think he's probably always going to stay with that. There's a Bible app that you can download for free. There's many of them. Every time you get in your car, for those of you that say, how I used to at one point in my life, I just don't have time tonight, I'm busy. But yet you're in your vehicle every day. Get in your vehicle, open that Bible app, and it will audio read it to you. It's pretty mundane, and it talks like this the whole time and doesn't change the tone of the voice. But I said, buddy, that counts. God wants all of us. God doesn't want us partially in, one foot in and one foot out. God wants you. He's almost in a sense a selfish God. He doesn't want part of your time. He wants all of you. And in return, God will move. As I end every sermon I've ever preached, I would be remiss in the fact of saying, if you don't know who Jesus Christ is your personal Lord and Savior. If you are unsure of where you stand with God, I can tell you this, there's a lot of great people in this church who would be more than happy to talk to you. Don't wait till tomorrow. Life is too short. Don't say, oh, maybe I'll talk to God tomorrow. Make a movement and talk today. Some people ask why I don't always read out of my Bible. I have to have it printed up here with big words in front of me so I can see. And I realized halfway through the sermon how small the words were. I'll work on that. But a long time ago when I was preaching, I was going down through the Bible. I started on verse 1 of a chapter, and I ended up 3 chapters later because I skipped down the page and forgot where I was at. So I have to have it in front of me. But I always have it up here as a reminder that at the end of the day, church, this God's word is based on fact. Our opinions don't matter.